Now listening to Get Sports Radio.
Episode number 21. It's our week 2 fantasy happy hour, and I'm your host, Dan Klaskins, checking in with you a little early this week. Some changing week plans due to some travel and stuff. I'm jamming it all in here early, coming to you on a Wednesday night. It's actually Wednesday, September the 13th, and we are sitting here getting ready for a little weekend trip, so it's a little weird. Haven't done that during football season in quite some time, if ever, since at least doing this professionally since 2003. But nonetheless, here checking in with you and helping you win. That's what this podcast is all about, helping you win in fantasy. Hopefully you did in week one. If so, congrats. If not, don't worry. We still got time to get things fixed and a lot of ways to do so. We're going to do it here on the show today. And if you're new to the podcast, well, thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe. You can do so on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, the home of the podcast, GetSportsInfo.com. That's where you can find every episode. Also, some great stuff, our rankings, free rankings, as well as Studs, Duds, and Sleepers Every Week by James Rapine. You can get my office pool picks. I make my Survivor pool pick. Didn't do too good in week one, but if you didn't listen to me and you want to come back for week two, I'll give you some winners there. I go against the spread, confidence pool too. My Fox 19 segment each week I do talking some fantasy football up there and much more goodness. I write about all kinds of sports and rants, GetSportsInfo.com, and of course on Twitter at Dan Klaskins. Podcast schedule that we hope to do throughout the season. We're now 21 episodes into this thing since starting it up over the summer, and I hope to do two a week. I plan on doing something during Monday night and Friday afternoon. Monday night being sort of the wrap-up of the week, hand out some game balls, we'll do the waiver wire, and as we get into the Friday podcast, the one I'm actually doing earlier on Wednesday night this week, the fantasy happy hour, as I want to call it, because that's how I spend my afternoons when it's not fantasy football season, a little Friday happy hour. So that's because I'm doing the podcast instead. I thought we'd still act like it was happy hour. I'm not going to do it drunk or anything. Maybe not. We'll see. But either way, here is what the agenda is for today. I'm going to get into some of the headlines for week two, talk a little strategy with you. And as I will do every week on this podcast, on the Friday edition, the fantasy happy hour, if you will, the guys I like more, the guys I like less, I look at my rankings at how they stack up against the expert consensus rankings at Fantasy Pros, one of the spots where my stuff is published. Of course, you can find my articles and rankings, Pro Football Focus, the exclusive home for them this season, and Get Sports Info, obviously, as I said, the podcast. We invite you to check that out. And you know, podcasts, so you got the schedule down. I'm getting some great feedback. The stats are definitely going up now that it's the season. So I know that you guys are listening, and hopefully we'll add new listeners as we go along. But I do like your feedback. So you can always email me about the podcast, not your fantasy questions anyway. That's getsportsinfo@gmail.com. I would also love to give you see some of you guys give some reviews out there, especially on iTunes and Stitcher. In fact, I've got my fantasy email coach service. It's unlimited, $25 for the entire season to have me help you with your waivers and your lineups. Guaranteed advice. I'm going to pick out, for every 10 reviews that I get between now and the next podcast, I'm going to give away one subscription for free. So if we get, if you're the only one who leaves one, nobody else does, you're the winner. Guess what? I'll give that away. That's a $25 value. Good or bad, I don't care. Give me a review. If you think I suck, tell me. I'll try to get better for you. But hopefully that's not the case if you're listening. Let's get into that. And you know, if you do want to subscribe to my email service without leaving a review, you just want to pay the price, it's a good investment. You can find that as well. GetSportsInfo.com. Click on Fantasy tab and look for email advice. That's where it's at there. But enough about that. Let's get into week two. Turning the page. And I'll tell you what. It was so clear on the waiver wires, at least in the early leagues where my waivers have ran as I'm sitting talking to you now, there was a lot of overreactions last week, man. I saw a lot of Hunter Henry's getting dropped, a lot of Brandon Marshall's, Rob Kelly's. These are just three names, and don't kid yourself. I mean, Brandon Marshall's not a guy I'm clamoring for out there, but on most 16-team leagues, if he's out there and dropped, he's probably going to be better than your wide receiver 5 or 6 at this point. I would roll the dice. Certainly scooping up fat Rob Kelly as a bench running back, a bye week guy with some touchdowns. I mean, Samaje Perine probably going to take that job at some point, but Kelly is still an asset. And Hunter Henry, the guy went without a fantasy point against Denver in the late Monday night game. And people are really spazzing out, but look at his game logs last year, people. There were some down weeks. This is not a guy that's going to be consistent, but I'll tell you what, man. If you got a roster spot, he's dumped in your league. I'm scooping him up because I still think that kid has some significant upside. So don't overreact. 1 week does not make a season. Don't sit on your hands and don't do anything at all, but try to put things into perspective a little bit. And really, before just giving up on a guy that just a couple weeks ago you loved so much. 1 week does not tell the whole tale, is the whole point. And as we look at week two, which guys are going to have those big bounce back games? Which are those week one disappointments that are really going to step up and do something? I mean, it doesn't take rocket science to put Tom Brady and the Patriots near the top of that list. Brady, pretty disappointing in the NFL opener on the Thursday night game. Of course, the Patriots getting upset on the same night that they essentially hoist another trophy, celebrate the championship. They look like dog dirt. Well, now they get the reward. They're going to New Orleans to take on a Saints team that turned Sam Bradford into the NFC Player of the Week a week ago. Nothing against Sam Bradford, but that defense is brutal. This one, of course, is in New Orleans. I will preface this. You know, I'm looking at the line on this game. -6.5, New England the favorite at last check. And I'll probably be taking my chances with the points in the home team. I think it's going to be a shootout, though. I think the Patriots win by less than a touchdown. And I think Tom Brady is my favorite bounce-back player of the week. Others that can fit the bill, guys that just didn't look great last time out that I think we're going to have better things. Marshawn Lynch has to be on that list. Beast mode. We got a small sampling of him back in week one there in the game, obviously against the Tennessee Titans. But, man, talk about a treat for those of you invested in Raiders for your early season delight. They're hosting the Jets in week two. I absolutely think that the Raiders could put a 40-burger up on the scoreboard. And if they do that, you got to like all your Raiders. And don't kid yourself. We're going to talk about some guys that I don't like as much as others in a minute. But, I mean, Amari Cooper, you're playing him. You're playing Crabtree. Derek Carr. Derek Carr, I mean, this is a guy that I'm not even all that crazy about. But once again, I find him ranked in my rankings pretty high. This week I got him pretty high. And as I said, we'll talk about that in a minute. But I think Lynch himself is a guy, a bounce back. I think Russell Wilson's in a good spot for a bounce back. I'm worried about that offensive line. I do think the Niners are a bit underrated, but they still average at best on defense. And this game, a big spread, 13.5. That total's only 42.5. So I'm not all crazy about Russell Wilson, like, totally going off and having one of those Russell Wilson-type days. But, I mean, let's face it. After what we saw in week one at Lambeau, there's only one way to go up. I do have long-term concerns about that offensive line and their ability to protect their quarterback. And we'll get a good taste of that this week, see how it unveils. I think Cam Newton, also another guy out there that is in a favorable spot to see an improvement. But outside of that, I mean, in general, you know, let's let these guys play it out a few weeks before we make these permanent decisions. Speaking of decisions, let's talk about some game time decisions, some injuries out there, or even game flow situations, some things to watch for here in week two, in addition to the bounce backs, are those things. And I think we'll start with Odell Beckham, his ankle injury. And granted, there's so much time between now and when the Giants play on Monday night hosting the Lions. But I can tell you, late tonight on Twitter, Ian Rappaport is putting out there, quote, a lot of optimism that ODB is going to suit up against the Lions. And haven't they lost that first game? I think they're really going to push it back here. Monday night, it's his thing. And, I mean, their offense was just so flat. The Giants across the board need the boost. If Beckham's in there, he's in your lineup. I got him at the outside my top five this week, even with the expectation. I think he does suit up. Jordan Howard, this is another one. Wow. Here's a guy, it wasn't like I disliked him, but I did not end up with a single share of a guy that was mostly a second-round pick in fantasy from the time I start drafting back in February. I will say this. He could end up being one of the biggest disappointments of that round, barring guys that get hurt. And that's because of what we saw from Tariq Cohen in the opening week and his involvement in there. I mean, you have to look at Howard as more falling down in the RB2 range if that were to sustain itself over a lengthy period of time. Now, I've got him at the back end of my RB1s at number 12 currently in my rankings at Pro Football Focus. That could change as the week goes on. But bottom line is, this is a nice matchup here. So even though it was disappointing in week one, I think you're going to want to roll him out against Tampa Bay. The defense, I mean, the total in this game is only 43, so it's not like a wonderful matchup. I'm just saying, like, I don't dislike Howard enough to sit him. I'm just moving him down my board. I'll tell you who I'm moving up my board, and that's Seahawks running back Chris Carson. And he drew buzz all throughout the preseason. I had numerous people on my SiriusXM show, Fantastics Insider Football. I hosted on Saturday morning, Sirius 210, XM87, along with James Adams. And we had the pleasure of talking to NFL Insider and SiriusXM NFL guru Adam Kaplan from his training camp tour. And, you know, he spent a couple days there in Seattle watching him. And Kaplan told us flat out that this Carson guy's for real. You need to have him on your radar. He's actually the sneakier play off the waiver wire this week. Now, Thomas Rawls expected to come back, still dealing with that issue with the ankle. So that does muddy the situation. It is a risky start. But in a game where Seattle is a 13.5-point favorite, I don't have a problem taking a chance on Carson, especially in a GPP and a DFS format there where it makes sense. The Cardinals' backfield, on the other hand, one I'm avoiding. And Bruce Arians has gone on the record naming Kerwin Williams as the starter as they now brace for life without David Johnson, who could be out until Christmas following wrist surgery. But Andre Ellington is still in the mix. They signed Chris Johnson back off there. They've added DJ Foster to the practice squad from New England. So a lot of different things going on there. I don't think anybody's emerging. I'm not really trusting any of these guys in my lineup in some formats, I guess. If you've got something on your bench that's just nasty, you could pick one of these guys up and hope, but I will not be joining you. The Colts starting quarterback situation, dude, it's brutal. And it's not even really all that relative to fantasy. Or is it? I definitely think if Scott Tolzien is back under there as the starter this week, I would be shocked. He's splitting reps right now with Jacoby Brissett, who's just been on the team for a couple weeks here. And I think Brissett is the guy that's probably going to get the start. And if he does get the start, I mean, Tolzien is so bad that if he starts, it's like I'm not touching any of the Colts. They're all downgraded anyway, but they're really downgraded with Tolzien in there against this Cardinals D. Brissett gets in there. I do think T.Y. Hilton, you know, I mean, you drafted this guy so high, and if you start especially potentially three receivers with the flex or whatever, I mean, T.Y. Hilton's going to be a fringe top 25 receiver for me this week if we get confirmation of Brissett starting. I don't love it, but I think that, you know, he obviously has a little bit more upside in that role, and he was such a high pick, so it's hard to keep him on your bench unless you really draft it well. Let's get into some fantasy 101 because I'm running into some things and it's happening all the time. Things that enter my brain or something triggers me as I'm doing things. And you know, setting lineups last week, I get a ton of flex questions and it's always hard to, you really have, there's not a specific science that makes me choose a running back over a receiver. To me, it's about matchup. It's about upside. I like having a balance there, but I wanted to spend a little time today talking about who putting in your, once you established your starting lineup, are there things to consider about who you put in that flex spot? And this is just something simple, but I might have some new fantasy players out there or players that haven't been playing as long and don't get into some of the more in-depth thoughts like this. But essentially, you know, last week is a perfect example. I was dealing with one of my teams where I'm pretty loaded, honestly. It's a dynasty league. And I had to put in, I had to deal with Hurricane Irma and the fact that Jameis Winston, Jay Ajayi, Mike Evans, Devontae Parker, all guys on this team. So I had to make some decisions, and my suddenly deep team got thin pretty quick. And I had to lean on Mike Gillisley as a starter, which I didn't love going into week one. Obviously, we know now it worked out with his three touchdowns. But this is a PPR league. But needless to say, I had to play him and Bilal Powell. And essentially, I didn't have another receiver after the ones that were already starting to put in the flex. So it was between him and Bilal Powell with Freeman as my RB1. And knowing that Gillisley was already playing on Thursday night, I originally had him in my flex, but knowing that he was going to be on Thursday night, I moved him up to my running back slot and moved Bilal Powell down to the flex spot where I could start a running back, a receiver, or a tight end. Now, Powell wasn't on the injury report or anything fluky, and who knows how things are going to transpire. But what I did know is there wasn't a scenario where Gillisley wasn't going to be in my lineup in week one, given the players left after the Hurricane Irma forced the buys. So therefore, why would I put him in my flex spot? If something were to happen in practice on Friday to Powell or Freeman, I suddenly would have to go really deep on my bench to take a running back. So by putting Gillisley in that spot, I opened the door for the receivers and tight ends also on my roster as becoming options. Not a big deal, but the little things like that often and sometimes do make a difference. Let's finish up today with some players I like less, some players I like more. Of course, my rankings are exclusively this season, along with all my written articles as part of Pro Football Focus, and the great work we do as a team there is second to none. I invite you to check out the PFF Edge or the Elite Packages, two of the best tools in the entire industry, including the awesome DFS Optimizer that's all part of that, and to do so, just go to GetSportsInfo.com. Check out my deals on PFF. If you sign up through links for either of those packages there, I'll give you my email coach service absolutely free this season. But I also put my rankings at Fantasy Pros, where they rank me against all the other experts in the industry for season-long and weekly basis here. And I love it. I love just, you know, seeing how I stack up. But I also love how I can instantly pull out reports of players I like more, players than I like less than the expert consensus. And I just think it's a great way for me to go through some of my thoughts in the podcast. And I'll end it every week, the happy hour version, the weekly preview, just like this. So let's start with the guys I like more. Let's start at quarterback, three on the list. And I'm going to start with Derek Carr. I've got him as my QB4 right now. And that's two spots ahead of the expert consensus. Jameis Winston, a guy I'm also two spots ahead, is my QB5. And I think both of these guys just have awesome matchups. Carr last week wasn't terrible. Could have been a little better, but put up some numbers. They're a 14-point favorite. I'm projecting them to win by over 20 in this game against the Jets. I just think this is a blowout city. The question is how many of the touchdowns come from defense and running backs? Either putting 40 points on the board. I think Derek Carr's got a chance to throw at least two, if not three touchdowns and get you the yardage. And I love Jameis Winston against the Bears. A week off. Out of sight, out of mind. I think he's one of my favorite DFS plays this week because he comes in at a nice price. And I think he's got a real safe floor with a high enough ceiling to do some good. And I also got Matthew Stafford on this list. I like him three spots higher than the expert consensus. He comes in at quarterback 11. And the Monday night matchup, the Giants, probably a pretty stingy defense. But I don't know. I haven't gone on the record officially on this yet. But in my early projections, I'm calling for a flat-out road upset win for the Lions. And I think Stafford is a guy that is a low-end QB1 in week two. Players I like more at the running back position. Just one I really wanted to highlight here. And that's Terrence West. I think he's the other guy that really comes into this spot. This week, it's a great matchup. I mean, Cleveland, they're definitely an ascending team. A team that I think is on the rise. But at the same time, this is DeShone Kizer's first start on the road. And I really think that Ravens defense is going to have the best of him. I like them to win by a touchdown or so. A low-scoring game, but I think it's going to be defense. I think it's going to be a lot of Terrence West. But Danny Woodhead's out now. Sure, Buck Allen's going to get the passing down work, but West, a guy that I'm coveting there, four spots higher. Quickly, some receivers I like. Golden Tate, wide receiver 19. Devontae Parker, wide receiver 23. Chris Hogan, wide receiver 30 in my standard rankings at Pro Football Focus. That's 4-6 and four spots higher than that expert consensus we talked about. And Tate, I mean, this guy's got one of the highest floors of any receiver in the league. Love what he's doing. Matchup's all right there against the Giants. I haven't officially gone on the record with this yet, but I'm looking at a Giants team. I'm predicting the Lions to beat them at home right now. I think they nudge them out. I think Stafford and Tate's a combo to like. And Devontae Parker didn't play in week one, so So that hype train slowed down on him a little bit. I think he's going to come out and have a big week two, his opening game, as Miami's in San Francisco. Like him and Daly, too. I like Chris Hogan a lot to bounce back. We talked about Brady. Hogan against the Saints is a must play. I've got him still just as a wide receiver three, though, so I guess there are some scenarios where he's not in the lineup. And Kyle Rudolph, I'm high on him. I also, another road team I like winning this week are the Vikings, and I think Rudolph's a good bet for a touchdown. He's in my top five, number four overall, three spots higher than the expert consensus. Moving along to some guys I don't like, guys I like less. At quarterback, I mean, it's not like I don't like Matt Ryan or Russell Wilson this week. I got him at 6-8 on my rank, so come on. But that's three spots lower than most of the experts at Fantasy Pros on average anyway. Russell Wilson really concerned about that offensive line there for Seattle. So the matchup's good this week. I'll roll him out there again. You'll roll both these guys out there if you have them in season long. But I'm not loving Russell Wilson long term right now until I see an improvement. Leonard Fournette, he makes this list, and last week he was my dud. He didn't really, like, overly impress me. It was just the fact the dude got so many carries, and the Texans were so brutally disappointing. I've got him at 14 this week. That's five spots lower than that ECR. Gillislee also, and Jaquizz Rodgers, RB2, and 22 and 24 on my board. That's five and four spots beneath. Gillislee so touchdown dependent. Now, I do think there's going to be a lot of touchdowns. For crying out loud, I'm projecting 57 points in that game. So Gillislee won't surprise to see me get in the end zone. I'll play him as an RB2, but he's not in my top 20, nor is it Jaquizz Rodgers. Gillislee, a guy that could easily finish top 10 if he gets the TDs, but I don't know. There's other options there I feel safer with. Amari Cooper, like him this week, is wide receiver 11, but continuing to be overhyped a little bit. His seventh spot on the expert consensus rankings has me falling behind. And a pair of Cowboys, Dez Bryant, wide receiver 26 on my board this week. I think he's in for a tough day against Denver, as is his teammate tight end Jason Witten, who I got three spots beneath his expert consensus ranking with my 17th ranking there at tight end. That's all the time I got for today. Be sure, as I said, to subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud. If you leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher this week, one out of every 10, and if you're the only one, that could be you, gets my email coach service for free. You can find out great deals on that and Pro Football Focus. Get my PFF deals at GetSportsInfo.com there. I'm going to be back again Monday night with my one more thing on week two. I'll give you an early look at some week three, waiver wire advice and help you get things ready as we turn the page. Fantasy season's flying along. You want to listen in for all your advice you need to win. Until next time around, I'm Dan Klaskins. This is the Get Sports Info Podcast.
Get Sports Radio.